Right now I'm asking you if you would take your Bible and open to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We have progressed now to another chapter. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 6. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nurtured up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. O Father, may we heed the words of this passage. For all of us are ministers in one way or another, and we desire to be good ministers. May we not be deceived by the seducing spirits. May we not be deceived by false doctrines. May we be so filled with the Holy Spirit that we'll have wisdom imparted to us from above. Oh, Father, we ask you to bless the word to our heart. But hide me behind the cross that you will have your way in our minds. Father, we lift up those that are sick. Each and every request that is on our prayer list. We also give you praise today that we have the Harringtons with us again. And we also pray for Louis Jacinto. Lay your hand of healing upon him. Make him healthy and strong. Now meet with us again, we ask you, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't know if you knew this, but one of the largest ever counterfeit operations was dismantled in the country of Peru. It happened on November 15th of 2016. The United States and the Peruvian agents seized a record $30 million in counterfeit dollars. I actually saw pictures of it. Just money stacked upon stacked upon stacked upon stacked, all hundreds. It was the biggest haul of fake U.S. dollars ever uncovered by the United States Secret Service. The operation was the result of a worldwide investigation focused on six criminal organizations that were based in Peru counterfeiting American dollars. It wasn't too long before that that we had the second biggest counterfeit. In the month of June of 2005, when Italian authorities found a briefcase filled with over $134 billion, that's with a B, in United States government bonds. Police arrested two Japanese men in their 50s. They were apprehended about 25 miles from the border of Milan. Authorities invested a briefcase that they had carried, and they found a false bottom which concealed 249 U.S. bearer bonds, each with a $500 million face value. It was a massive counterfeit case. Now you might be saying, Pastor, why are you telling us about counterfeiting? Because the wicked one, the evil one, is the greatest counterfeit of all. The crime of counterfeiting currency is as old as money, and counterfeits are nothing new. They are as old as Satan. He was the first counterfeiter in the Garden of Eden, pretending to be speaking for God, pretending to be speaking for the welfare of Adam and Eve. He has fostered false righteousness. Think about that for a few minutes. False teaching, false hope, false gospel. And he has inundated plague upon plague of deception in our country, in the world, in Israel. And he has done so with false prophets and evil counterfeits. And he's done this throughout human history. Paul is saying in this passage to Timothy, who is mentoring, there is going to come a time when all of this is going to proliferate to fruition, to the coming of the counterfeiter, the Antichrist. Paul tells young Timothy to be aware of false and deceiving spirits because they will attack the church. And more precisely in this passage, he warns about this attack in the latter days. Folks, we are living in those latter days. I wish I had the time to bring some Bible verses to your mind, but many of you are students of eschatology, and you know Israel is in our homeland. Jerusalem has been declared the capital. People are going back to Israel as prophesied in the Bible. We are living in the final days. And I said it before and I'll say it again. There are two entities standing in the way of Satan having complete power over the world. The United States of America and the Church of Jesus Christ. And he is working hard to undermine both. These scriptures that we read today are specifically for the latter times of the church. And so we need to beware. The key to this passage is the very clear-cut phrase in verse 1. Look at it. Some shall depart from the faith. Folks, the rest of the passage describes elements and characteristics of that departure from the faith. They leave, they're seduced by evil spirits, and they go out and they propagate false doctrine. Paul is telling Timothy, beware. Now, Paul didn't know any more than we do the exact day of the coming of Christ. And so he did not know the exact day of the Antichrist, but he certainly forewarned the church. And we'll go over that a little bit. In this section of this epistle to young Timothy, Paul emphasizes the character and the work of a good minister. And that's not just talking about your pastor. It's also talking about you, and I'll prove that through the Greek in just a few minutes. But the pastor is to be a teacher of the Word of God. And he needs to be that because there are many who are weak and deceived and struggling in their Christian faith. And we must come to realize that the battle is between Christ Jesus and Satan against good and evil. And when we fail to see or recognize the enemy, we cannot fight or resist him. First, we want to look at the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. And I love how Paul starts there. Timothy, we've got the power of God. Now the Spirit, that's speaking of the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly, we'll talk about that in a minute, that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, that's the true faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now is actually translated from the Greek word di, which also can be translated but, or however. The Spirit of God is saying, and it is in the present tense, and unequivocally. specifically states that some shall. In other words, it's future, but it will happen. It is an absolute predictable prophecy. Amen? Some of us don't have that down. God said in His Word will come to pass. Everything was prophesied about the Lord Jesus Christ's first coming has come to pass. There have been books upon books written about it. I think last week I told you about Josh McDowell. He went into this Bible to prove that Jesus Christ was not the Messiah. And he came out on the other side that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Because mathematically, no one could have fulfilled every scripture prophesying about Him as Jesus Christ did. And He is the Logos, He is the Word, and everything that He has said in the Bible will come to pass. We're living in tremendous times, unprecedented times. We are living in the midst of prophecy being fulfilled. Before the year 1948, Israel was not even a nation. It was a dream, it was a vision. She had long been scattered among the nations of the world, and God said in the latter days, I will bring you back home. And that generation shall not pass until all be fulfilled. And we're living in that time. The Spirit says that in the latter days, people will depart from the true faith. In other words, this will happen because it will be a result of spiritual warfare. Good against evil. And we're living in a day where many people are being deceived by seducing spirits. Oh, well, this is good, when actually we examine it into the filter of Scripture and we know it's evil. How dare we stand for that which is evil? But that's the world we're living in. Isaiah and Ezekiel all prophesied. The day will come when that which is good will be called evil and that which is evil will be called good. I don't want to get into contemporary examples because you know what they are. The Holy Spirit of God speaks truth. He cannot lie. He is God. Amen? And He guides us into truth to warn us as individuals, as the church, that seducing spirits will come, and they will come in a powerful, progressive way in the end days, and they come to destroy. Look, Jesus taught, keep your finger there, go to John chapter 16, and there's a lot of passages in John I could take you to, but go to John chapter 16, and let's go at verse 7. If you have a red letter edition, you'll see these are the words of Jesus, forewarning the disciples in chapter 16. I'll pick it up again, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the what? Truth. You know, God can only deal in truth. Satan deals with what? Lies, deceptions, and counterfeits. In fact, that's his whole game. He even counterfeits ministers. He doesn't come to you like the boogeyman. That'd be too easy. Amen? Why would he do that? He comes as a minister of light. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you, talking to the disciples, talking to us, that I go away, for if I not go not away, the Comforter, that word is Paraclete, will not come unto you. Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. And we need Him. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you, and when He is come, He will what? Reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. More appropriately in Greek, to be judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, in other words, there will come a time when He, the Holy Spirit of truth, who Paul is talking about in Timothy chapter 4 verse 1, the Holy Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. And by the way, we have many churches, unfortunately, who, I guess we'll call it, worship the Holy Spirit in the wrong way. Now, Holy Spirit is God, yes. But He never calls attention to Himself. always calls attention to Jesus Christ. Study the Holy Spirit. Just go through the New Testament and just study the Holy Spirit and you'll see he's like John the Baptist. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He points to Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that. He shall glorify me, verse 14, not himself. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore say I that ye shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit will guide. There is no excuse for us to be deceived. If you're saved, you're born again, that same Holy Spirit I read to you about, where Jesus exhorted his disciples about, is in you. And so the Spirit has expressly and explicitly said these things over and over and over again. And in chapter 4, if you're back in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we find that this is talking in the present tense. He's now speaking. It's always in the present tense. He's now speaking to you, to me. It means that what he is saying right now is part of the continuing of the Holy Spirit's revelation of the evil that is upon us. Amen? Very important, because that is apostasy. That is what's really being talked about. Apostasy is false doctrine, heresy, deception, counterfeit. Folks, this is why we need to stay in this book. I read this week about a pastor. People loved him. Now, he may be a good pastor. I'm not here to judge his pastoring. But when he got in the pulpit, he'd read a verse, and then he would preach on current events, the war in Bosnia. Yeah, famine in India. Now, there's certainly a time to bring these things up as illustrations, and certainly we ought to be praying about current events. Paul is explicit to Timothy, we are to preach what? The word. In fact, what does he say in verse 5? For it is sanctified, all that we do, by the word of God and prayer. And then we get into 2 Timothy, Paul says, preach the word of God in season and out of season. That's not happening anymore. Was at a pastor's meeting recently, and the pastors were saying how they have to be careful about what they're saying now, because a lot of our services are live streamed. And the day will come that we'll probably be called on the carpet for hate speech because we're preaching from the Word of God. In fact, Mike Patterson told me that he got in trouble. And they have to learn now that there comes a time where you just have to shut the mic off. Talk to your people. I don't know if I want to do that, because we need to be talking to the world too. We should be ready. We should be filled with the Spirit. We should have the wisdom of the Spirit. The guidance of the Spirit. Jesus said it will guide us into all truth. We'll know what truth is. We'll know what counterfeit is. And we'll recognize apostasy. We'll understand what a seducing spirit is. What is a seducing spirit? He says, now the Spirit, Holy Spirit, speaking expressly, it's going to happen in latter times. We touched on that. Then they will depart from the faith. We know what that means. They'll leave the true faith. They'll go to a cult. And it says here that they will give heed to seducing spirits. So let's understand what that is. What is a seducing spirit? Well, the word itself, seducing, means to cause, to wander, to lead astray. And it is those forces that are attacking the Lord's church more and more and more. So seducing spirits will lead you astray from the truth. God will always lead you by the Holy Spirit to the truth and to an understanding of the truth. Seducing spirits are empowered by the wicked one, who we know is the devil. Now, it may not be him himself. And although the devil is not omnipresent, only God is omnipresent, meaning present everywhere at all times, Satan is going to have the appearance of being omnipresent. And when the Antichrist comes, the world will globally be set up that the people will look to him that he is God. And it's already happening. There are computer systems already set up in cities, and he'll have every bit of information. And you know, Twitter and Facebook and all of those are preparing for the Antichrist to not only be omnipresent, but also to be omniscient, to know everything. He'll appear to know everything. That's why I don't like getting on some of these, what do they call them, apps or whatever?
Social media.
Social media, thank you. Because I'm very leery. You know, he also works in a spiritual way. He has many demons in places to specifically wage war against God's people. Now, there are fallen angels. And they are at the command of the evil one, Satan. But we know in Genesis 6 that there came, through the indomitable race, the demons, disembodied spirits that had no place to go when they died, because they weren't angels and they weren't human. And it was Satan's way to foil God's plan of redemption, and God would not allow it. And so there are disembodied spirits, and they work, and they're in alignment with Satan and his fallen angels. They do their biddings. And they can mock and copy anybody. That's how powerful they are. And this is why people believe in ghosts. Because some evil, wicked, seducing spirit can mock their dead grandmother, and they think, "Oh, I saw the ghost of my grandmother." Read your Bible. Where is that spirit? What does the Bible say? It preaches at funerals. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon, the smartest man that ever lived, said, God says that when you die, the cord is cut. Body goes to the ground. The spirit goes back to God who gave it. You think God is saying, well, go back and be a ghost. What foolishness we are seduced by. These are demons. And I've watched some things that make me laugh but make me cry. It's foolishness that people think that this is someone that they knew. So, well, how can they do that? Well, maybe they possess that person. Maybe they oppress that person. Maybe they just have all the information they need. I wish I had some more time. I could tell you story after story. A lot of them I got from Dr. John MacArthur, who talks about demonism and how his church was attacked and how he met with somebody that worked very closely with a medium and what they were doing and how they already knew 9/11 was going to happen. Talked to a guy who knew that bombing of the Twin Towers, the first one, not the second one, was going to happen because he was told by a demonic spirit. And he didn't believe it. He was a military man. And he got convicted to tell his higher authorities, and they thought he was nuts. And it won't come out, but everything he said, he got it through a medium. And everything that he said happened because he was talking to the demons who were actually working to bring it to pass. Orchestrating it is the word I wanted. But let's continue. I'm getting off on a rabbit trail. Where did I go? Okay. They are spirits of the Antichrist. And these are spoken of by the apostles, spoken of by the Lord Jesus, spoken by John in 1 John chapter 2. Remember he said, little children, it is the last time or the last days. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now, he says, there are many Antichrists. And this is in John's day, first century. And there were many then. Can you imagine how many are here now preparing for the Antichrist? This is why I stay away from globalism. This is why I stay away from ecumenicalism, because they are all part and parcel of a one world government and a one world church. It will have to be that way for Satan to appear as omniscient. Their only purpose is to deny the power of Christ, to deny His work, to deny His blood, to deny His death, and definitely deny His resurrection. And we can plainly see the effects of His attack and deception over our own country. There is a spirit, a seducing spirit of hatred, of lies, of division, of deceit. The Holy Spirit counters the evil spirit of Satan and his demons. And if you are in tune with the Holy Spirit that's in you, and if you're saved, He is in you, and you are saved and sealed under the day of redemption, and the only way to make that spirit stronger in you is to be fed by the Word of God and preaching. Amen? Listen, we live in the deception of the last days. If this passage is teaching us anything, we are living in days where we could be easily deceived. And there are many organizations out there doing it. The New Age movement, ecumenicalism, secular humanism. And these things have crept into our public schools. It's kind of interesting how there are many churches that are recognized as churches by the United States government. They have a 501(c), so they're recognized by the United States government, and they are completely evil. And yet, children can go into their public school wearing any kind of paraphernalia that exalts them. In fact, many of these cultish organizations worship the devil. And there's all kinds of symbols and stuff. And kids can go into the school and you don't hear any complaints from the principals or the teacher. Wait a minute, you can't wear that. That exalts the Church of Satan, Satanology. No. A little girl this week went to school wearing a mask that said, "Jesus loves me." Oh, that can't be tolerated. And they sent her home from school. Jesus loves me. And yet, we see over and over again, and this isn't just now. I can remember 30 years ago, I went down to the high school, took some AIG magazines, and they wanted to throw me out of there. And I said, no, you have to put these in your library. You've got all kinds of other garbage. Back then, we had some really strong witnesses for the Lord Jesus in that public school. And I asked the students that were here, did they put them out? They said, no, they're nowhere to be found. What is that, seducing spirits? We live in the day also where they are seducing, we call them religions, but really they're not, they're cults, the Jehovah Witnesses. And people think, well, they're wonderful people. Well, they might be wonderful people, but they have terrible doctrine. And that's what he says here in the first verse, beware of seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil. Oh, how could you say that? Well, go to 1 John. Go to 2 John. If they don't come bearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, John said, don't even fit them in your house. Don't wish them Godspeed. You know who they teach? The Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Jesus Christ is not God in the flesh, that He is actually Michael the Archangel incarnated. What blasphemy. Then you've got the Mormons, the Latter-day Saints. And they have their own Bible. They have our Bible, but they got their own John Smith found with his special spectacles. And that's loaded with a lot of lies. I wish I had time. You know, there are over 3,500 cults in the United States, and the fastest growing religion in our country are cults. What are cults? They're deceiving. They're counterfeits. Cults begin most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time with a charismatic leader who begins to indoctrinate members with unorthodox beliefs. And these are seducing spirits. Cults include groups that claim to be Christian but have authoritative books other than the Bible. Go read the book of Revelation, the last chapter. And we have seen some of them. I'll just name the five most notorious ones in the last 20 years. The Temple Gate. Heaven's Gate. Remember them? The UFO was going to take them up and they all died. Satan just loved that because he is the author of death and murder. And he connived with seducing spirits, these people to think they're going to be, you know, beamed up to a spaceship. Branch Davidians in Waco, Texas. Seventh-day Adventist group. The Salvadians, don't even get me into that. And the worst, many of you remember Jim Jones and the People's Temple. They're just a few. Seducing, lying spirits. And people were deceived. The Holy Spirit will never deceive you. He is God, and He loves you. And His mission is to guide you into truth. And His mission is to help you have your eyes open to see seducing spirits, to see counterfeit. But you won't see it if you're living in the flesh. You know, the Holy Spirit teaches us, let's go there. Keep your finger there. Go to 2 Thessalonians, which is before, obviously, the book of Timothy. And go to chapter 2. And we find in this passage, chapter 2, that before the coming of Christ in glory, there will be a massive, again, departure from the faith. Verse 3 of chapter 2, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a, what's those next three words? A falling away first. Scripture will always prove Scripture. And then it talks about the son of perdition, that's Satan, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, that will be in Jerusalem when they erect the third temple, showing himself to be God. What blasphemy. And that's where it will all culminate. In Jerusalem at the temple. By that time there will be so many people deceived and lost. We go to 2 Peter and there will come in the last days. Peter said, mockers of the faith, scoffers, abandoning faith. People saying, oh, he's been saying he's coming for years and years, but he has not come. And so they walk away. You have to wonder if they were ever really part of the faith. Jude 18, there is but one chapter, obviously. Same thing. 1 John 2, the Antichrist will come. He will deceive many. And as a result, there will be people who will go out, John said, from us, who we thought were of us. There is a very straightforward mention in 1 John chapter 4 that there are false prophets and antichrists. They are going out into the world, and they will go out into the world and they will wrest souls away to their own organizations for their own profit. And they will do that by being counterfeit. Folks, a true church seeks to convert members to Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
And they tell the truth who Jesus Christ is. And by the way, if you're saved, you know how you were saved. You know the Holy Spirit came upon you and convicted you that you are a sinner. Amen? The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so you knew that you needed to be saved. And you know that God tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And you knew that God sent His Son to die in your place, and He didn't stay dead. But according to Scripture, very important, because Christ had to fulfill the Scriptures, He died, was buried, but He rose again on the third day. Hallelujah. And you need to believe that. Romans 10, 9 and 10, do you believe that? For man must confess it with his mouth and in his heart, believe that God has raised him from the dead and thou shalt be saved. Are you saved? Folks, if you're not saved, you're living in a terrible time and you could be easily deceived. But you won't be if you have the Holy Spirit. And I pray that all of you do. I have to stop there. We only did one verse today. Lord willing, should our God tarry in sending His Son, we'll pick it up where Timothy begins to explain the characteristics of seducing spirits. Verse 1 just dealt with the Holy Spirit will be your guide. The Holy Spirit will show you these seducing spirits. The Holy Spirit will guide you. Holy Spirit will help you. And we really need all the help we can get from the Holy Spirit because there are cults cropping up everywhere. And sometimes, and I'll get to this in my third point, Lord willing, next week, sometimes Satan even plants them in your own church. Jesus called them wolves. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Thank God that we have pastors and deacons and godly people with discerning spirits. Most important thing for you to know today, are you saved? Do you have the Holy Spirit that speaks expressly in this latter time? Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I've done my best, Lord, for you to be sure that none of our people are deceived. And Lord, I understand how strong a deception Satan can be. Many of us know that a counterfeit sometimes is so hard to recognize. But Lord, your Spirit helps us recognize truth. Help us to recognize the truth. Bless these dear folks. Father, help them in their daily walk with you. Help them in their daily lives. Anoint them from above. And use the members of this church to be a lighthouse and a beacon to our community. We thank you, God, for keeping the doors of the Dover First Baptist Church open for 263 years. And we give all the honor and glory unto you. For as you have raised up godly men and women to participate in this ministry, to keep the doors of this church open, that we would be a lighthouse to our community. Bless us, we pray. Dismiss us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our songbook and open to 357 if you have your songbook. And if not, look up at the monitor. Shall we stand? We'll just do the first.